Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantinilayam, the most happening place on the planet. And today is February 18th. 1 plus 8 is 9. A divine Thursday in February 2016. And in 2 weeks from now, Prashanti will be filled again with devout hearts and eager souls to bask in the beauty, the serenity and sublimity of Sai Shiva. Yes, on March 7, 2016 is the occasion of Mahashivaratri when sacred chants will fill our beings. Also be the Abhishekam ceremony to the Lingam, a very, very sanctifying experience.
We will now witness the holy Bilvabhishekam, the offering of the sacred Bilva leaves. Bilva is very dear to Lord Shiva. Bilva represents the mastery over the three gunas. It emancipates one from all the sins.
Ippudu manam chudaboyedi Bilvamrita Abhishekam. Bilva dalalato pavitramaina jalanni arpistunnam. Paramashivuniki Bilvam atipriyam. Trigunalaku atitulanu chesi పాప విముక్తులను చేయమని మన సాయీశ్వరుని ప్రార్థిద్దాం.
నమో బిల్వినే జగవతినే జనమశ్రుతాయ దర్శనసేనాయ చ బిల్వోదవే రస్తమయామి.
విల్ నౌ పర్ఫార్మ్ ది ఇక్ష్వామృత అభిషేకం వేర్ విల్ బి ఆఫరింగ్ ద షుగర్ కేన్ జ్యూస్ టు సాయీశ్వర. షుగర్ కేన్ రిప్రజెంట్స్ అబండెన్స్ అండ్ ప్రాస్పెరిటీ.
చెరకు రసాన్ని ఇక్ష్వామృత అభిషేకంగా మనం సాయీశ్వర లింగానికి ఇప్పుడు సమర్పిస్తున్నాం. చెరకు సమృద్ధికి శ్రేయస్సుకి చిహ్నం. ఇది స్వచ్ఛమైన నిరంతర కృషి ద్వారా వచ్చి ప్రతిఫలంతో ఉండే మాధుర్యానికి ప్రతిరూపం.
After the Abhishekam, of course, you have the night-long non-stop bhajans that just obliterates everything around you, where your senses just seek nothing else but Shiva. For a few moments, you experience the heights of Shiva consciousness.
Thank you.
In fact, Shivratri in Prashant Nilayam has always been exceptional. Bhagwan used this occasion to reveal facets of his divinity that stunned and bedazzled the devotees. Let's listen to what Swami revealed in 1999, just after manifesting the Lingam from his being.
Bhagwan wants us to understand the sanctity and the auspiciousness and the true meaning and the inner significance of Shivratri. This Hiranyagarbha that Bhagavan is showing to us is present in everyone. It is present on the right side of everybody.
It
is not the one that has originated
in
his body. But it has spread all over. But as Bhagavan wills, he takes a form.
ఇలాంటి యొక్క తత్వాన్ని మీరు వేరుగా భావించకండి.
డోంట్ కన్సిడర్ ఇన్ డిఫరెంట్ వే.
ఇది సర్వులు ఎందు ఉండేటువంటి దీనిని ఈ ఆవిర్భావం సమయం లోపల ఎవరు చూచారో వారికి ఇంక జన్మ లేదు.
Those that have seen this Hiranyagarbha coming, origin of it, will not have birth again.
వచ్చే సమయంలో దీని యొక్క ఆకారం చూడాలి.
You must have seen as it has come, the form.
కనుకనే ఇలాంటి దర్శనమే ఇలాంటి పవిత్రమైన యొక్క భావనం గావించే నిమిత్తమే ఇలాంటివి అప్పుడప్పుడు ప్రదర్శించవలసి వస్తుంది.
దీస్ థింగ్స్ హావ్ గాట్ టు బి డన్ నౌ అండ్ దెన్ టు మేక్ యూ నో ది డివినిటీ.
దీనివల్ల ఒక విధమైనటువంటి మానవత్వంలో ఉన్నటువంటి దివ్యత్వం వారికి అర్థమవుతుంది.
యూ కెన్ అండర్స్టాండ్ ద లేటెంట్ ఇమినెంట్ డివినిటీ విద్ ఇన్ యూ.
ఇది ఎక్కడ వేసినా కానీ పగలేటువంటిది కాదు. ఎక్కడ వేసినా పగలదు.
యూ మే డ్రాప్ ఇట్ డౌన్ ఎనీవే.
అమృతత్వము చూడండి, ఎక్కడ వేసినా ఇది పగిలేటువంటిది కాదు.
ఇట్ విల్ నెవర్ బ్రేక్.
ఏ విధంగా కూడా మారేటువంటిది కాదు.
ఇట్ ఈస్ చేంజ్లెస్.
ఇలాంటి దివ్యత్వం అనేటువంటిది ఎక్కడ కూడా జగత్తులో కానరాదు.
దిస్ డివినిటీ డోంట్ ఫైండ్ ఎనీవేర్ ఇన్ ద వరల్డ్.
ఇది బంగారుదన్న వేస్తే ముక్క అవుతుంది.
అండ్ ఈవెన్ గోల్డ్ వుడ్ బ్రేక్. బట్ దిస్ విల్ నాట్ బ్రేక్.
ఇలాంటి దివ్యత్వం అనేటువంటిది ఒక్క దైవత్వం దగ్గర మాత్రమే మనకు నిరూపణ అవుతుంది.
అన్బ్రేకబుల్ డివినిటీ యూ ఫైండ్ ఇట్ హియర్.
So that was the revelation about Hiranyagarbha, how this Hiranyagarbha is situated on the right side of the human body, while the physical heart is on the left. The physical heart on the left side, Swami said, has to be left in some circumstance or the other. But Hiranyagarbha, which is located on the right side of the human body, is always right and it is always there. It is immortal, it is divine, it is eternal, it is all-encompassing. And Bhagwan says, it is present not only in human beings but also in birds, in bees and in all other living beings. And love is a reflection of Hiranyagarbha. And Bhagwan says, this principle of love is Hiranyagarbha. I remember after the materialization in 1999, Bhagwan added, don't get deluded just because I talk, laugh, walk and eat like you. Do not get deluded by the body feeling. All my actions are selfless, selfless and selfless. There is no trace of selfishness in me. Have firm faith in this truth. If you have total faith, wherever you are, all your desires will be fulfilled without your asking. Only those who don't have total faith suffer. Develop self-confidence. This is the first sadhana you have to undertake. And then Bhagwan said to the devotees, truly you are all most fortunate. Today is Somavar, Monday. And this is very endearing to Somashekhara, to Lord Shiva. That is why Shiva is extolled as Someshwara and Somashekhara. And then Bhagwan added, this body was also born on Monday. Bhagwan is that Shiva, he is that Sai Someshwara. And today, in this last hour of Thursday life, let's ruminate on the revelation that Sai Shiva made about himself. Let's spend our time losing ourselves in this Shiva Sai consciousness.
Tune into Sai. Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
So welcome to Outside Inside, Deep Inside. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and welcome to Shiva Shakti in Prashanti. Truly, Shivaratri every year catapulted the devotees to a new level of ecstasy and awareness, and some of these revelations that Bhagwan made woke everyone up to the stupendous magnificence of the presence that Bhagwan is. After blessing everyone with Lingodbhavam Darshan in 1971, in his discourse, Bhagwan said, "Why does Swami produce the Linga from himself this day?" He questioned that, and in answer he said, "Let me tell you that it is impossible to understand the attributes of the divine. You cannot measure its potentialities. You cannot gaze the significance of his mahima. It is agamya, unreachable. It is agochara. It is ununderstandable." And then Bhagwan added, "It is because of these revelations, it is because of these moments which stun you, you get example of divine attributes. In order to bear witness to this divinity that is amidst you for your own benefit and benediction, it is only to create this awareness in you that the Linga emerges." And Bhagwan added, "If even these glimpses are denied, then faith in the Supreme will vanish, and an atmosphere of greed, hatred, cruelty, violence and irreverence will overwhelm the good, the humble and the pious. It is only to establish the awareness of divinity that the divine does these superhuman acts." And Bhagwan said, "The Linga is an illustration of this limitless, formless, beginningless and endless divine principle." Actually, even before the Prashantinilayam Mandir came into existence in November 1950, Shivaratri was celebrated in Puttaparthi. In fact, in 1940s itself, Bhagwan privately used to do the Lingodbhavam. It was only for select devotees in small gatherings. Therefore, Shivaratri has been one of the most profound celebrations and definitely among the oldest festivals of Prashantinilayam. And how can it not be, when both Shiva Shakti reside here in their beautiful combined avatar?
Shiva Shakti Swarupa Baba, Hi Deen Palana Baba. Purnavatara Baba,
in fact, this reminds me of June 1963, when Swami for the first time parted the curtain on one of the mysteries of this true incarnation of Shirdi Sai, Satya Sai and Prem Sai, and went on to narrate a tale that is significant, very symbolic and so pregnant with deep meaning. People familiar with the life story of Swami know how he suffered from a paralytic attack on June 29, 1963. For 8 days, he underwent this pain, and there was no end to the distress of the devotee at the time. The one to whom they looked up to for all their problems, he himself was down. And it seemed as if he was utterly helpless. All sorts of rumors about Swami from everywhere only compounded the misery of the devotees. On the 8th day, Swami was brought down the winding stairs from his room in the upstairs of the mandir to a room in the ground floor. And the devotees who were serving Bhagwan had no choice, because Bhagwan, even though was not in a condition to move even an inch, he insisted that he wanted to go down. He wanted to give darshan. It was the day of Guru Purnima and thousands of devotees had assembled. The prayer hall was packed. People had come from many villages around Puttaparthi because they heard that Swami was giving darshan for the first time after a week. So they had come in large numbers. Swami was brought down very carefully. Three devotees carried him. His left leg was lifted over the doorstep by one of them because it was paralyzed. Someone had to lift. There was a kerchief tied around his head and his face, and this was to hide the halo of hair that had actually gone awry. It was also to hide the twitching of his facial muscles. When they tried to lift Bhagwan's left leg, it was so stiff, his toes scraped the floor. Imagine the situation for the devotees. Very, very difficult sight for the devout. And everyone who saw this scene felt, what was the need to bring Bhagwan down? When his condition is so bad, why at all put him through such a difficult exercise? The devotees felt that all these three persons serving Swami, they had actually put the most precious life on the planet at some risk by bothering him and bringing him down. But they had no idea that it was Bhagwan who was insistent that he wanted to come down. And then with lot of care and difficulty, Bhagwan was placed on the silver chair and he was propped up by pillows. And as soon as Bhagwan was in position on the chair, a pillow was placed over his chest and his limp left hand was lifted by Mr. Raja Reddy and placed on this pillow. One can only imagine how dreadful and heart-piercing it would have been for the devotees to see their Bhagwan in this state. Bhagwan's limbs were so numb. His left eye, his hand, his leg, they were all affected. Even his right hand was partially paralyzed. His tongue was indistinct. His face was contorted. And after Swami was seated, supported by all these cushions and pillows, Bhagwan signaled to Professor Kasturi to speak. Professor Kasturi stood up and gave a very short speech, and after that Bhagwan asked the mic to be placed in front of him, and now he wanted to speak. He tried to speak and he asked, Vinipistunda, can you hear me? Those were the words Bhagwan said. That was God asking, can you hear me? Swami's voice was quite indistinct and many could not make out what he was saying. There was so much commotion in the hall, and it was because of this that the faint voice of God could not be heard. In fact, it is so significant, isn't it? Only if we quieten ourselves can we hear the voice of God. And the voice of God is always calling, always asking, can you hear me? Can you hear me? But as Bhagwan says, only in the depth of silence the voice of God can be heard. So what did Swami do next? Well, when they could not hear what Bhagwan was saying, everyone became very quiet. Then Bhagwan asked for water. And when water was brought, his semi-paralyzed right hand came close to the tumbler. He dipped his fingers into it. And then he put a few drops of water on his tongue. And then he dipped his fingers again into the tumbler. And now this ailing right hand sprinkled a little water on the limp left hand on the pillow. The hand that was placed on the pillow above his chest. And then, faintly shaking, the right hand again sprinkled water on the left leg too. Then, Bhagwan's right hand gently stroked his left hand. And the moment his right hand stroked his left hand, suddenly the left hand became completely all right. It was almost by magic. And the next moment, now both his hands, which were fine, stroked the left leg together. And now, that's it, the pillow fell off, the cushions came down. Bhagwan became erect and he took to the mic and he announced the golden words. Prema Sarupalara, embodiments of love. That was the first word that came out of Bhagwan. Prema. If you think about this entire episode, if you think deeply about this entire incident, it is nothing but prema. all the devotees in an instant. They were just shot from the deepest pit of gloom to the 17th heaven of delight. People started jumping. Someone went hysterical in joy. Their Baba was now hailed. He was hearty. He was healthy. He was heavenly. It was the biggest, brightest and the most blissful day of their lives. Bhagwan was back. Their beloved was back. Their refuge was back. And as things calmed down a bit, Bhagwan started his discourse. And the first phrase that came out of his resurrected body is, Dikkuleni variki devude gati, which means, for those who are forlorn, those who have nowhere to go, God is their only refuge. And then Bhagwan revealed, this is the reason for my illness. This is the suffering that a helpless devotee was supposed to undergo. He would not have survived it. It is my duty to protect my devotees. I had to rescue him. And then he went on to say how this is nothing new for the avataric body. Swami said, even in the Shirdi incarnation I had done this. Balavant was destined to get plague, but I took it over and that boy was saved. This is my nature. This is part of the task for which I have come. I have come to protect the good. Shishya Rakshana, Shishta Rakshana. I will protect my devotees. And then Bhagwan explained further and said, there are some people who are asking me, who is this person whose illness I have taken? And they even started giving me names of people who had attacks of paralysis and so on. Bhagwan said, this is really ludicrous. Swami said, when I take care of someone, I take care completely. I will not allow them to suffer. It is not that I suffer half and they will suffer half. I don't leave in them even a fraction of the disease. Bhagwan said, it seems so funny to me the way you people think that I will leave traces of the disease so that that person can be identified later on and so on. When I take care completely. And then Bhagwan said, yes, probably this is one of the longest periods when I kept devotees wondering and worried. That was because there were many heart attacks that this devotee was to face, and I had to save him from all these series of catastrophes that he had to undergo. That was destined for him. And then Bhagwan changed gears and said, there is another reason too. There is another reason why I suffered for 8 days. And this is something I have not disclosed in the last 37 years. But now the time has come. And he went on to reveal the Bharadwaja connection to the Triune Sai Avatars. Swami said, when I announced my advent, I had said that I belong to the Bharadwaja Gotra. I belong to the lineage of sage Bharadwaja. And then he began to narrate the story of how he became part of the Bharadwaja Gotra. He said, Bharadwaja was a great sage, someone who studied the Vedas for 100 full years. But the Vedas are so vast and they are endless. Even after studying them for 100 years, Bharadwaja felt that he needs more time to master the Vedas. So he did penance so as to prolong his life. And then Lord Indra gave him an extension of another 100 years. But that too was not enough. He asked for 100 years again. And this was granted. Still he felt that his work is so incomplete because the enormities of the Vedas is so infinite-like. So when he asked God for extension of another 100 years, for the third time, Lord Indra then showed him 3 mountain ranges and said, what you have learnt is only 3 handfuls of sand from these 3 mountain ranges. That is how vast Vedas are. So give up this attempt to exhaust the study of the Vedas. It is not advisable. But what you can do instead, and which is good and which is better for you, is do a sacrifice, do a yajna. And Lord Indra said, I will teach you how to do this. If you do this, you will gain the fruit of the study of all the Vedas. This is what Lord Indra advised Sage Bharadwaja. Let us pause here. To me, this is so significant because Vedas, as it is said, are the breath of God. You cannot fathom God, can you? He is as infinite as the blue sky and the blue ocean. Similarly, you cannot fathom the Vedas too. Vedas are the knowledge of the creation and the creator. Can we ever exhaust this knowledge? Sage Bharadwaja, not able to know even a handful of grain from a mountain, even after 300 years of intense study, only reveals how incomplete our knowledge will always be, even if we spend hours, even if we give our lifetimes in studying the Vedas, in studying the nature. In fact, people spend their entire life trying to study just the feet of the frog or the antenna of the ant. Somebody spends 60 years of his life only trying to understand how the spider creates its web or why does water drop does not stay on a lotus leaf. And when we reach somewhere after decades of research, we feel we have achieved something, we have got something tremendous. But that is so tiny, so insignificant in the scheme of things. We become proud, we have got a PhD, we feel we should be lauded, we should be conferred with awards. But actually what we have achieved is so puny. It is just our ego which gets bloated with a very, very insignificant achievement. Therefore, just study, just getting a PhD, just a new understanding, just like how now there is so much excitement about the detection of gravitational wave. The international team of scientists say it will usher in a new era of astronomy. This is actually the culmination of decades of searching and decades of research to know a little more about the Big Bang. Even though this is a leap for the scientific community who are trying to understand the origin of the cosmos, but this in comparison to what the universe is so tiny. What we have figured out is not even a fig leaf of this mammoth and complex tree that is creation. Sir Albert Einstein once said, "People like you and I, though mortal of course, like everyone else, do not grow old no matter how long we live." What I mean is, we never cease to stand like curious children before the great mystery into which we are born. We will always be like curious children when we look at everything around us. In fact, in a letter to Queen Elizabeth of Belgium in September 1932, Sir Einstein writes, "As a human being, one has been endowed with just enough intelligence to be able to see clearly how utterly inadequate that intelligence is when confronted with what exists. We only know how much we do not know. We have only that much intelligence to understand. We have only that much intelligence which enables us to understand that we really do not know." That is what Sir Albert Einstein says. The really wise know how little we know of what is going on around us. So, going back to the story, Indra, the god of heavens, who knows about all this, he says to Bharadwaja, "Don't spend time trying to master that which has no beginning and end. You cannot do it. You would have spent lifetimes, but you will reach nowhere if your goal is only knowledge. Knowledge without compassion is useless. Compassion without knowledge is ineffective." So Indra advises Bharadwaja to leave this craze for information and do something which will be more effective, more fulfilling, that can give him the fruit of all the knowledge. And that is why he advises him to undertake a yajna, a sacrifice. And sacrifices are done generally to propitiate the gods, to offer gratitude to the gods and seek the welfare of all. So instead of continuing to gather information, use whatever knowledge you have got now for the benefit of mankind. That is how your knowledge will acquire life. They will become alive. This is the advice of Lord Indra. One of the finest expressions of love, the best expression of love, is sacrifice, is selflessness. So basically, Lord Indra asks Sage Bharadwaja to now work from the heart and not from the mind. It is meaningless to go by the mind and then complain that I am not feeling fulfilled. Mind can never grant fulfillment. If one wants to experience self-satisfaction, one has to follow the self with a capital S. And that self expressed in action is selflessness and sacrifice. So Bharadwaja takes the advice of Indra and starts preparation for this grand sacrifice. And Lord Indra guides him about the nuances of performing this sacrifice. That is another point here. When we decide to walk on this path of love, on this path of sacrifice, we need to be guided. And this guidance comes from the gods. We need to beseech the Lord to guide us. Indra is supposed to be the master of our senses. So when we calm our senses, we will be guided by God. Just like Bharadwaja got guidance from Indra. But for this, we need to calm our sensory faculties. So now Bharadwaja, after having made the preparations for this grand sacrifice, he has this beautiful thought. How about inviting Mother Parvati, the Shakti principle of this universe, the most merciful facet of the divine, to preside over this sacrifice? He feels that would make it so beautiful, so powerful, so meaningful. So the story goes, Bhagavan narrates that Bharadwaja goes to Kailasha, the abode of Lord Shiva and Parvati, to invite the mother. But there is a time when Lord Shiva and Mother Shakti are engaged in a dance, and it is a play between the Supreme Lord and the Divine Mother to see who can dance the longest. So that is why the dance goes on and on for days and days, 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, but the Ananda Tandava of Shiva Shakti continues.
హరి వ్యాప్తం వీణాది సుతంత్రీ రూపం వేణుస్వనల హరి వ్యాప్తం మృదంగదుం గుటి శంఖ శృంగ ఘంటాది అంతర్గతం మృదంగదుం గుటి శంఖ శృంగ ఘంటాది అంతర్గతం
The dance goes on and Bharadwaja has no option but to wait. Fourth day goes by, fifth day also passes by, 6 days, a week is spent in Kailash. But the dance never stops. The Lord and Shakti are in eternal dance and Bharadwaja is left there waiting, waiting and waiting. Finally, on the eighth day, Mother Parvati notices Bharadwaja. Bharadwaja standing in one corner, standing in the cold. And she acknowledges her presence with a smile. But all the same, she continues to dance. And now the sage is happy and sad. Happy that the mother finally noticed him. But he is sad because he interpreted the smile of the mother as a polite refusal because Shakti continued to dance. So she thought the mother perhaps is not going to come for the yajnam because the mother did not stop her dance and did not listen to his prayer. So completely crestfallen, Bharadwaja now decides to return. Let's pause here again. Sage Bharadwaja had the purest thought, the thought that let the mother preside over the sacrifice. When we decide to do any act, if we think of the mother, that act automatically becomes sacred. Ultimately, the purpose of every act is to make it an offering to the Lord. And now, if the Lord or the mother herself presides over the function, how blessed that is. In fact, this should be our endeavor all the time. Every time we do something, this should be in our mind that let Him be the center of everything that we do. Sometimes we get so caught up in what we are doing that we forget why we are doing, for whom we are doing, and who should preside over it. We organize a big function, maybe a devotional session or a seva camp or a spiritual retreat, and we are so busy making all the preparations, making all the arrangements, deciding who should come, where they should be put up, which dignitary to invite, which speaker should speak first, who should speak next, who should sing, and in which order, everything that goes on. We are so busy in putting together all this that we sometimes forget why we are doing this. And as we are organizing this function, there are differences of opinion, there are sometimes misunderstandings, and we do get frustrated. We feel sometimes, I'm doing so much, how can anyone say this to me? I'm not going to do this, let them handle, what do they think of themselves? Or sometimes somebody else feels, I'm doing so much and how come I'm not informed about this particular development? They don't realize how valuable I am. My contribution is never recognized. I'm not going to do all this donkey's work. But if Swami really was physically attending that function, would we have allowed any such feelings to bog us down or to dispirit us? We will just not allow anything to affect us, because Swami is going to come and whatever happens is for good. And anyway, we will say to ourselves, it is not me who is doing, it is His work. There is automatically this sense of dedication, this sense of surrender and acceptance of His will. That's what happens if we keep God at the center of everything that we do. And that is what Bharadwaja did. He wanted the mother to be there with him for this beautiful ceremony that he was doing for the welfare of the world. And now he goes to Kailasha. And there he sees Shiva and Shakti in an eternal dance. Again, if you think deeply about it, what is this dance? This is the dance of creation. This is the dance that began with the Big Bang, with the beginning of creation. And this is the dance that continues incessantly. This is what is the play between matter and energy, Purusha and Prakriti. Shiva's Damaru is the sound of creation, and creation is as vibrant and as beautiful as the dance of Shiva and Shakti. There is always the play of these two forces, Yin and Yang, the Purusha and Prakriti. I'm reminded of the late President Dr. APJ Abdul Kalam, who in his book Wings of Fire says, wherever you go on this planet, there is movement and life. Even apparently inanimate things like rocks, metal, timber, clay, everything is full of intrinsic movement. There are electrons dancing around each nucleus. And he says this motion originates in their response, the electrons' response to the confinement imposed on them by the nucleus by means of electric forces, tries to hold these electrons together as close as possible. And electrons, just like any individual with a certain amount of energy, they don't want confinement, they detest confinement. The more tighter the electrons are held by the nucleus, the higher is their orbital velocity. The higher they move, the faster they move. So the more they are confined in an atom, the more speedier, the more they are confined, that much more enormous is their velocity. In fact, the confinement of electrons in an atom results in enormous velocities of about 1000 kilometers per second. And it is because of these high velocities which make the atom appear a rigid sphere, just like a fast-moving fan appears like a disc. It is very difficult to compress atoms more strongly. And it is only because they are moving, the electrons are moving at such fast pace that they appear solid. In fact, there is nothing that is actually solid. This is what giving matter the familiar solid shapes that we see everything around us. Just like the earth, you know, which is rotating at such fast speed, but we feel that the earth is stable, even though it is not only rotating but is also revolving around the sun. But we don't feel anything because it is happening at such fast speed. Everything that is solid is full of empty space within, and everything that is stationary contains great movement within. But the reason I mention this is, Dr. Kalam says that whenever he looks into the atom and he looks at the way the electrons are moving, when he looks at the play between the electrons and the protons, he says that what he sees is this great dance of Shiva being performed on earth during every moment of our existence. That is the Tandava of Lord Shiva. And the stage for this Tandava is this creation. This entire creation is his abode. That is where he resides. In every particle there is Shiva Shakti, and there is this Ananda Tandava going on.
Nacho he natara Shiva Shambho. Nacho he natara Shiva Shambho. Har Bhole Nath Shiva Shambho. Har Bhole Nath Shiva Shambho. Shiva Shambho, Shiva Shambho, Shiva Shambho, Shiva Shambho. Dama 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 rupaje. Har Sai Nath Shiva Shambho. Nacho he natara Shiva Shambho. Har Bhole Nath Shiva Shambho. Shiva Shambho, Shiva Shambho.
So this is the eternal dance of Shiva Shakti that started with creation and it continues non-stop. Swami says, Kailasha is not in any distant location. When our mind is pure, when it is free, when it is clear, when it is cool, then our mind is like Himalaya. And that is when we experience the bliss of Kailasha. So Kailasha is there everywhere, only we have to calm ourselves to experience it. Just like Prashanti is not there only in Puttaparthi, Prashanti, Bhagavan says, is everywhere. Every heart has the potential to become a Prashantinilayam. Whichever heart is full of peace and full of love becomes Prashantinilayam. So Prashanti is everywhere, Kailasha is everywhere. The Shiva Shakti dance happens in every particle of this cosmos. The Shiva Shakti dance is symbolic of the stars and the moons shining in the Milky Way. It is symbolic of the earth rotating and revolving. It is symbolic of the leaves rustling in the wind, and it is symbolic of the protons pulsating inside the atom. So that is the Shiva Shakti dance that Bharadwaja was watching. And now coming back to the story, Bharadwaja was waiting for the mother. For some reason, only on the 8th day, mother noticed Bharadwaja. Or at least Bharadwaja felt that the mother noticed him. The fact, of course, is that the all-knowing mother is conscious of Bharadwaja's presence all the while, but for some incomprehensible reason, she decided to make it known to Bharadwaja only on the 8th day. God's timings are always mysterious. Rarely do things happen in our life the way we plan. Everything happens as the controller of time decides. Sometimes it might seem to us very wrong, very strange, very out of place, very unreasonable. Why did Mother, who is all merciful and omniscient, make the poor sage Bharadwaja wait for 8 days. The revered sage had to stand on the cold snow for more than a week, praying and waiting. What could have happened in 8 minutes? Why did the mother take 8 days? There are certain things in this universe which are known, like the fact that there are seeds inside the apple. But there are things that are unknown, like how many seeds are there. But to know this, we can, of course, investigate, we can break open the apple, we can count the number of seeds, then the unknown can be made known with some effort. So there are knowns, there are unknowns, but there are things that belong to a third category, and that is, there are things that are unknowable. For example, we do not know how many seeds inside the apple will tomorrow grow into apple trees. This is unknowable. Why did Shirdi Sai decide to take birth again as Satya Sai after 8 years? Why only at the age of 8 did Bhagwan enact the incident of his teacher's back getting stuck to the chair? Why did Satya Sai decide to leave his physical frame in his 86th year? These are all unknowables, and they will always remain unknowables until we become one with the Divine. Our only option is to wait. Our only option is to be patient. Our only option is to surrender to the Master of Time. They say, if you walk with God, no strength is lost. If you talk with God, no breath is lost. If you wait for the Lord, no time is lost. And if you trust in God, your life is never lost. And that is what Bharadwaja did. With patience, he prayed and he surrendered to Kala Tita.
Kala Titaaya, Siddhi Rupaaya, Yogishwaraaya Kala Titaaya, Siddhi Rupaaya, Jagatitaya Vishwarupaya Jagatitaya Vishwarupaya
So finally all the prayers of Bharadwaja bore fruit. The mother did smile at him. She let her know that she is happy with a very gentle expression, and this she did even as she was dancing. As they say in Hindi, Bhagwan ke ghar der hai andher nahi. God's delays are never his denials. But somehow Bharadwaja mistook the mother's smile to be her refusal. Why did Bharadwaja understand mother's smile this way? And what happened next? What is the connection between Bharadwaja and the Sri Satya Sai avatar? And why is it so significant? and what are the lessons in it for us, and what are those learnings which will help us make our Shivratri more efficacious and more blissful and more fruitful. Well, we will discuss this in the next episode of Outside Inside, Deep Inside. As we near Shivratri, let us spend our time ruminating on this fantastic principle of Shiva, the principle of Sai Shiva. It is the same principle which came down on earth to elevate us. Let us use every moment to fill ourselves with this Shiva consciousness, with this consciousness, with that ultimate being, which is nothing but being, awareness, bliss, Atman. Thank you so much, dear listeners, for being with us all through the day, this beautiful Thursday. We'll continue this discussion next week. If you have any queries or comments, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and as I sign off, a sweet good night and loving Sai Ram from Prashantinilam.